And praise God, and so grateful to be able to be here to share with each and every one of you this morning. Thank you for being here. Now, I have to open up and admit and confess that this has crept up on me, and maybe it has with you as well. I can't believe it's Christmas already. I mean, really? Like, where did the year go? I mean, all of this time? I don't know. The older I get, it seems like time goes faster exponentially. Like, please, God, put on the brakes. Let's slow down a little bit. But yes, it is the Christmas season once again, and it is a wonderful season to be a part of, right? It is the season of miracles. It is the season of joy and peace and hope and love. We're grateful that God has blessed us to participate in this season of the year. Now, I would love for our church to be that church community that is in your life, that quickens in your spirit the real reason for the season. You see, the real reason for the holiday is not the gifts under a tree, nor a tree or lights and decorations, though they are all beautiful. The reason for the season is Jesus the Christ, that he was born, God in flesh, to come and dwell among us, to live with us, but not only live with us, but also be our redemption, to be our redeemer, right? That he came to for those who have fallen short and not have reached the standard of God's perfection, those of us who would consider ourselves villains. We can be redeemed. That's a throwback to last sermon series. If you missed any of them, go back and check it out. But we are excited about this sermon series, and we're calling it the Christmas Table. The Christmas Table. And we hope that through this series that you will be inspired and encouraged to see and participate in this holiday season and see it through the lenses of Jesus and to participate in this season like Jesus would participate in this season. I'm going to read a passage of scripture this morning from Luke chapter 14. But as I do, I want to let you know that this is a parable of Jesus, meaning it is a story that Jesus told. Now, these are Jesus's words translated into English. So I want you to hear them as Jesus is speaking to you. I want you to take a moment, and as you are pulling up your chair to the Christmas table to receive this morning, that you would hear what Jesus is speaking to you, that you would leave space and room as you hear these words for the Holy Spirit to speak into your spirit. And would you hear what God is inviting you into as I read this text? Luke 14, verses 7 through 14, the NIV reads, "When he," meaning Jesus, "noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, Do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Sit with that for a moment. Holy Spirit, would you come? We pray for your divine guidance and a meeting with you personally. We need you, in Jesus' name. Amen. What stood out to you in this story? What did you hear that maybe you've never heard before? Where did you find yourself in this parable? Did the Holy Spirit nudge you in some kind of way, like he's never nudged you before? Did he call you or invite you into something that maybe made you feel uncomfortable or that you didn't think you would ever be invited into? Today, I'd like to invite you to flip your table. Not literally. Now, don't go home and start, you know, being violent and flipping tables now. Because the pastor told me to come home and throw this table across the room. No, that's not what I'm, listen to what I'm saying. What Jesus, I believe, is inviting us into in this passage of Scripture is to flip or to re-examine how we show up at the gatherings we are going to be invited to this holiday season. But it's two lessons in this passage of Scripture. Not only is he asking us to re-examine ourselves, but he's also asking us to re-examine our invitation list. Who are we inviting to dinner? Many of you have read the Bible from cover to cover. Some of you looking at me like, I ain't never done that. I don't even plan on doing that. Some of y'all started in Genesis and got the numbers and was like, no, that's okay. Listen, I know that's a hard task. But if you are familiar with the fullness of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you know that God is telling us one complete story. That it's not just random books and authors with stories about their lives all around. God has one cohesive story knit throughout the Scriptures that he loves humanity. And he loved humanity so much that he prepared a way for our redemption. That he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our benefit. And so one of the stories in the Scripture that I find absolutely intriguing, and my wife brought this to my attention because it's one of my favorite stories, hence the name of the message which she named this week, is the story. A week before Jesus willingly gives up his life, he's arrested and crucified and then resurrected from the grave. This week before all of that happens, he walks into the temple. And what does he see? He sees that all is not well. He walks in and he sees that there are people sitting at the table in the temple. And they are selling sacrifices. Actually, they are using the table in the temple for their own personal gain. They are using the tables in the temple for their own profit as they profit off of the most vulnerable people in the city. In Jesus' eyes, This is a corruption of the temple. This is a corruption of the table in the temple. And so Jesus, this is what I love about him, he rolls up in there and he literally flips those tables. He says, man, y'all got to get up out of here because this is my Father's house. Y'all not going to corrupt my Father's house and turn it into a den of thieves. And he got them folks up out of there. Yeah, Jesus, let's flip these tables. And so he got those folks out of there. Why? Because they were taking advantage of the poor, the marginalized, and the most vulnerable during the holiday season. What I see in today's text, in Luke chapter 14, which we read a couple of minutes ago, is Jesus' plan to redeem and restore the table and its uses. And he wants to give you and me his vision for your table, for my table, this holiday season. So, how do we flip our tables? How do we re-examine ourselves as we approach this holiday season? I believe that Jesus leaves us with two things that we're going to cover today. Number one, he says, be humble. To quote the prolific philosopher Kendrick Lamar, he says, be humble. And be mindful of where you sit down. You see, Jesus is saying, folks, we're coming to this gathering and sitting wherever they felt like sitting. Have you ever gone to someone else's house and just sat wherever you felt like sitting? Have you ever just came up in somebody's house and just grabbed their recliner and dragged it over to the dinner table? I mean, that sounds sweet to me. Like that's what heaven is like. Like, I'm going to pull up a recliner to the table, finish eating, and just dip back, turn the game on, Jesus. Yeah, this is great. But, like, why would you do that in someone else's house unless something was going on with you? You see, I believe that Jesus is getting at, or what he's trying to get at in this passage, is to get us to ask ourselves a question whenever we are invited somewhere, invited to someone else's celebration, someone else's house, sitting at someone else's table. He wants us to ask ourselves, what is the posture of my heart? Let me give you a little background here. Jesus has been invited to a dinner celebration at a prominent religious leader's home. As he enters in, as he hobnobs with all the folks around, he notices how the guests are seating themselves. He sees that the people who have been invited to this celebration are jockeying for the best places to sit. They're nudging folks to get to the places of honor, the most prestigious seating in the room. You see, culturally, back in this day, the closer you sat to the host of the party, the more you were celebrated, the more people looked at you and said, wow, that person must be important. Wow, that person is important. They stand out. Man, I wonder who that person is. We love to be honored, don't we? Oh, we love to be celebrated. We all want to see our name in lights. We want people to honor us, to always acknowledge us, to lift us up, don't we? I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about the person sitting next to you. We love to feel like we're bigger than we actually are. We love when people call our names and we'll get upset and leave if you don't. They know how much work I do for this church. In his commentary, Dr. Tony Evans, he has a commentary on the whole Bible, first African American to actually do that. So buy a copy when you get a chance. But he says this in his commentary. We, believers in Jesus, are to live with an eternal perspective in mind, not with a desire for notoriety. Followers of Christ are not to exalt themselves by presumptuously seeking positions of greatness. Rather, they are to assume lower positions of service and allow God to exalt them. Humility is the true path to glory. Amen. I think that Jesus handles this situation brilliantly. I mean, absolutely. If you read it a couple of times, you're like, oh my gosh, I can learn so much from Jesus. And I believe that we have a lesson. All of us can get this lesson and should take it with us today. That watch what Jesus doesn't do. You see, when the people come in the room and they like trying to get the places of prestige and they nudging people, they jockeying for position, they like, move, guests, get out my way. I'm trying to get that seat at the front of the room. And what happens is Jesus does not scold them. Jesus does not fuss at them. Jesus does not offend them. He does not raise his voice. He doesn't even chastise them. What does he do? He tells them a story. He tells them a story about embarrassment. He tells them a story that all of them can relate to. You see, because everybody in here can relate to embarrassment, right? How many of you have ever been embarrassed? Right? Oh, see, everybody didn't raise their hand. That means you're embarrassed to raise your hand right now. Because everybody in here has been embarrassed before. But watch this. None of us want to be embarrassed ever again. And so Jesus uses a story that everybody in the room can relate to so they can understand where he's going. Oh, how our relationships in this world could be improved if we learn how to tell stories. How our relationships can be improved with our significant other. Our relationship with our children can be improved. Our relationship with our parents, our friends, maybe even our relationship with our enemies if we learn to just pause and think before we respond, especially when we are offended. If we could just sit back and think of a story that, man, captivates our audience's attention and helps them to understand where we're coming from or how they offended us, instead of us raising our voice and becoming enraged and telling them about themselves. You see, Jesus engaged in stories because engaging stories win more people than heated debates. This all all of our response stems from the posture of our hearts. What's the posture of your heart? Or what will the posture of your heart be this holiday season? What's the posture of your heart going to be when you encounter that Auntie Susu and Susan's right in front of me. I apologize. Let's say Auntie such and such. I apologize. Calling names. Think you calling a random name and the person right in front of you. That's kind of odd, right? Strike that from the record. Push delete on the record. I love you, Susan. Anyway, Uncle such and such. You know he's going to show up at Christmas dinner. And you know he's going to bring up his politics. You know he's going to bring up the way you're raising your family. You know he's going to get on your last nerve. How are you planning to respond? What's the posture of your heart entering into the conversation? The question is, are we aiming to be humble followers of Jesus in orthodoxy and in practice? You see, a lot of us are followers of Jesus, right, in theology and all that kind of stuff. We know all the goodness about Jesus, and oh, yes, I can quote scripture and verse, but when it comes to actually doing it, what happened to Jesus? I thought you was following Jesus. Humility. The Lockman Foundation, who published the New American Standard Life Application Bible, they define humility in this way. Humility is not self-degradation. It is realistic assessment and commitment to serve. I know. It is absolutely hard to serve those you hate. But you know what? It's harder to hate those you serve. Jesus' message to each one of us this week is this: seek to serve this season instead of seeking your own self-status. Serving is way more important and valuable in the kingdom of God than seeking status. Jesus instructs those people who come to this dinner party, the people who are gathered at this party, and he tells them to stop seeking places of prestige, stop seeking places of honor, stop trying to make yourself feel bigger and better than you actually are. But he's asking all of us who are followers of him, who consider ourselves followers of the way, he's saying, seek a place of service. Can you imagine how much better your holiday celebration would be if everybody who came with a mind and a heart of service? Can you imagine how, let's flip it. Can you imagine how wonderful this church could become and be, how magnificent the city would want to be in these doors if everybody who came here came to serve? And not sit back and say, I'm waiting for you to serve me? Can you imagine how much better your family life would be? How much better your neighborhood could be? How much better the Twin Cities would be if everybody came in with the mindset of, can I serve somebody? Because if everybody comes in with the condition of the heart, the position that I want to serve, then watch this, everybody gets served. And then the burden of service is not on the 20%. It's on everybody who comes in, and then everybody can enjoy themselves. Let me get off of that, because that's how I get quiet in here. Number two, how to flip the table. Sorry, Amy, I told you come up at 25. Give me five more minutes. Here we go. How can we flip the table this holiday season? Jesus tells us. The second thing he gives us, he says to be inclusive. Jesus turns his attention now to the host of the party. And he offers his heart to the host. He looks around and he sees all of the people who've been invited to this party, to this gathering, to this celebration. All of those people can return the favor. All of those people that he invited were people of influence. All of those people that he invited were people of power and position, those people with prestige. All of those people he invited were people that could bring a big gift, that could bring a bottle, that could bring a dish, that could come and benefit him. Y'all remember the story about Jesus going to the temple and flipping the tables? Why did he flip the tables? Because the people behind the tables were using the table for their own personal gain. They were benefiting from the table. Fast forward to this story. What is Jesus trying to tell us in this story? is that many of us are using the Christmas table. Many of us are using the holiday celebration. Many of us are using these events and parties to invite those we're trying to impress, to invite those that we are trying to build our reputations around, to invite those that we're trying to network around. We're trying to build something for ourselves. Jesus says the next time that you throw a party, the next time that you have Christmas dinner at your home, the next time that you celebrate something and you invite somebody, take a look at your invitation list. I want you to flip the invitation list. Who are you inviting to celebrate? Because then he goes and he points out some specific people. He says, here's who you should invite. He says, the poor and the cripple. People, watch this, it doesn't have to specifically be them. Watch this. People who cannot repay you. People who cannot return the favor. I love Jesus Christ because he is so brilliant in the word choice, in his word choice. If Jesus was a hip-hop MC, I tell you, I would buy his record all the time. Record. Some of y'all don't even know what a record is. I'm old. Let me get back on the text. The word that Jesus uses for poor, it's the Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because somebody's going to come at me and be like, the word is not pronounced that way. I'm a Greek scholar. God bless you. I think I care how to pronounce a Greek word. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be on this text. The word, look, Jesse is looking at a watch. Listen, my bad. We having fun up here. We having fun. It's Christmas time. Happiness and cheer. Anyway, the word he uses for poor is the word that means one who has been made poor. One who has been reduced to begging. One who is a victim of the systems that are in place, the people who are in power, these are people who are trying to make their way, trying to reach equality, trying to have a living wage, and somebody, some system, some power has always got their foot on the neck, not allowing the people to become equal. He says, that's who I want you to invite. That's who I want you to love. That's who I want you to bring into your home this Christmas season. Jesus is offering you a challenge today. If you consider yourself a follower of him, will you flip who's at your table this year? Ask yourself, who have I overlooked? Who have I avoided? Who have I walked away from? Who have I distanced myself from? Who did I step over to get here today? Who did I step on in order to get the position and power that I enjoy right now? Who's lonely right now? Who's distant from God right now? Who needs a friend? Jesus says, invite them to your celebration. And then he ends that text with this, that there is a heavenly reward for those who do this. He's got rewards for you if you are willing to bring someone else some joy this year. If you are willing to bring some love and laughter into someone else's life this year. If you're willing to bring some food and fun and a family atmosphere to someone else's holiday. He says, watch this, I will repay you. God's got something for you. So stop looking for rewards from everybody else. I'm going to leave you with this. This is it. So you came up just in time. Is it this? Jesus is the Christmas table. Jesus is the table, and he wants us to invite others to be around him this holiday season. Jesus is the Christmas table. He wants us to be around him this holiday season. Jesus is the Christmas table because he is the source, the one thing that we can surround ourselves with and experience joy and love and hope and unity and victory in our lives. Jesus Christ is the center. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to move on. But I'm going to tell you like this. The Apostle Paul says it this way. When you get a chance, write this down or make a note. Read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Ephesians chapter 3. Just remember that. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says it this way. The great mystery of God has finally been revealed to humanity. And that mystery is Jesus Christ. That in Jesus Christ, watch this, two opposing parties become one or unified around the table. It's in Jesus that we find the power to love those who we hate. It's in Jesus and at the table of Jesus where we find the power to re-engage those who are distant. It's at the table of Jesus where we find the power to overcome the fears that we have over all of these other people. It's at the table of Jesus where we find the power to reconcile relationships that have been abandoned. It's at the table of Jesus that we learn to actually love one another even in the midst of a world full of hate. And that, my friends, is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And that is what Jesus is inviting you into this holiday season. Will you take a next step with me this week? On your Connect card. The Connect card that you filled out earlier today. At the very bottom, there's a line that says, my next step. And the next step that I'm going to ask you to do is this. First of all, let me tell you this statement. Think about this. Jesus always prioritized inviting people who could never pay him back. With that in mind, will you take this next step with me? Will you identify one person this week who you can prioritize this holiday season? One person. Matter of fact, some of you got somebody just popped in your mind, a name just popped in your mind. Some person that you said you would never talk to again just popped in your mind. If you're willing to do that, to take this next step, I just want you to write the word yes where it says my next step. You see, these next steps that I invite you to are not just waste of time. They are discipleship tools to help us to take one step a week to get closer to Jesus. One step a week to say, yes, Jesus, I want to be transformed and molded and become more like you. Yes, Jesus. And as we participate in taking a step closer to him, he says, I will continue to do the miraculous in your life. If you said yes, or if you filled out this card, make sure you turn it in at the end of the service. The boxes are in the very back of the room. Thank you for doing that. I'm going to pray and close us in prayer. And then they're going to take over and they're going to work. We're just going to worship. And then you can go get your kids and all that kind of stuff. But listen. Stand up with me. That's the first thing. Those of you on the prayer team, if you would come to the front at this time. Listen, I believe that God has given me a word for someone today. And if this is you, this is God's invitation for you to come up and give prayer. He gave me a word or the phrase spiritual or spiritually depleted. Maybe there's somebody here today that said, man, I have poured out everything that I have. I don't have anything left in the tank. I can't pray for people. I can't engage people this holiday season. You're asking me to flip my response? Yeah, I'm about to flip something at somebody. But I believe that God through the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit, wants to pour into you in this moment. That your emptiness would be completely filled today. That you would be restored and renewed in this moment. That you would leave here beaming. That God would be shining His light not only on you, but through you. If that is you, make sure you come up and get prayer. Or if you've come in with anything on your heart that you don't want to leave with, allow our prayer teams to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into your situation. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close. We'll worship. And feel free to exit when you're ready. Holy Spirit, you're awesome. We are blessed to be in your presence. To have your power dwell within us. You are holy and mighty, the creator of all things, the lover of our souls. And we honor and lift you up during this holiday season. We remember the love that you had for humanity, so much love that Jesus, you would leave your throne in heaven, all of the power and the prestige, and come down and be born in a manger. To the lowest place on earth, you humbled yourself to show us what humility is. You gave of yourself and poured out so that we might be made full. And God, we just want to say thank you for that. As we leave this place, as we depart, we pray that your divine presence would be with us. That all would be well, that we would see your glory and goodness, that we would reap your rewards during this week as we engage in your truth. Thank you for all you're doing. And as we worship, God be glorified. In Jesus' name.